Bob, you have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. We are coming to you from the Calls on Call Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sunprairie. My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small businesses across the country. And I'm excited because it's commercial real estate time.
It's time.
I have Heather Ewing, the owner of Abstract Commercial Real Estate. Heather, how are you doing today?
Great. Thanks for having me, James.
I'm excited.
I am too. It's fun to share about retail, and commercial real estate is definitely on fire right now.
So oh my gosh.
We've got a lot of great topics to cover.
Yeah. So first, let's just start out with what is Abstract Commercial Real Estate? Let's start there and then we can move onward here.
Definitely. So it's the firm that I founded, and I opened it earlier this year, May of 2020.
Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you. Definitely an interesting time to start.
Did you say May of 2020?
I did.
Sorry. You're just like, this will blow over.
Yeah. Hopefully COVID blows over.
Yeah.
But the reason I started it, it was really to come at it from a unique vantage point of wanting to offer services in the commercial retail sector in a unique manner. So we're a boutique retail firm servicing owners, developers, and tenants.
Nice.
So it's really niched. And then additionally is focusing in on the mixed use properties.
Okay.
And that's where, again, working with owners and developers, offering insights so that they can lease their retail space at grade more quickly, easily to better tenants and really hit the numbers that they desire.
All right. For that. So what made you start your own thing versus just working for... You were a broker before, right?
Right, I was for over 5 years. And the reason for that was really having your own firm, you're able to call the shots and to really offer a certain level and caliber of service that you desire.
Okay.
And so with that, I decided to start my own. And with that, then you'll notice that my focus is pulling in a lot of the new video and the technology and really making a branded statement.
All right.
And so those are different elements that I'm integrating and will share with people. And it's really providing additional level and layer of service, something different. And in retail, it's very customized.
Okay.
So I can pinpoint that, including drone video footage and other units to just make a precise package for them and something that's going to elevate them.
All right. That's cool.
Definitely.
Is it tough to get in that realm, to get in to start your own commercial real estate business?
Well, commercial is definitely a breed of its own.
Okay.
You know, when you look at residential versus commercial, two very different types of arenas.
Yeah.
People either love residential or they love commercial. It's a water and oil type combination is what I say. So I had the good fortune of several years ago looking into it, was interested in it, and ended up working in the retail sector. And it's very creative. I'm a very creative person, and you work with passionate people.
Right.
They're inspired. They're passionate.
Sure.
Some are newer to the arena. Others are seasoned regional or maybe national retailers. And in it, it's just a very creative. It's definitely an area of risk. But there's also big rewards.
Sure.
So the deal structures are longer. You know, there's a lot of cold calling, prospecting, building relationships. And the nice thing is as you get established, of course, all of that is much easier.
Right, because now people are looking for you.
Exactly.
Right.
And so you become known, you service a special niche. And I think that's something that's really helped me is being very niched.
Nice. Okay.
And so retail and new mixed use development is what people know and come to me for. So it's just a fun area, and at times it just feels like I almost have to pinch myself because I love what I do.
Sure.
And I love helping people. And with that, you know, it wasn't always that way. I was in the operations arena.
Okay.
Many years ago.
All right.
For about 11 years.
Okay.
So I was in capacity planning and running production lines, overseas negotiations for toolings, electronics, motherboards.
Right.
Completely different arena.
Yeah, way different.
Yeah, exactly. So the record skipped.
Yeah.
And I found myself of, you know, what do I really want to do in life? Of course, you don't hear about commercial real estate.
No.
It's one of those unique areas where I'm like, if I only knew about that 23 years ago. Right?
Nice, right?
Right. Exactly. But as you would want to say, fate, destiny, interest, whatever, tap mm-hmm. me on the shoulder. And as I got into it, I just fell in love with it.
Okay.
It's challenging.
Yeah,
it's rewarding. It's unique. It's very creative in how you structure deals, in the site selection.
Mm-hmm.
Having been born and raised in the Madison area, I've been here 46 years, that knowledge is invaluable.
Right.
So I remember before the Beltline was put in, before Westtown was there and it was Field.
Wow.
You know, so you just know all these different areas, including the suburbs and things of that nature.
Sure.
And how it all fits together. And the nuances of neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
So you have demographics and all of these various numbers, but then there's also just a mentality
right.
and a feel and a vibe.
What they typically purchase, what they typically do, where they typically work.
And that's the psychographics,
sure.
right. So you compile all of that together.
Right.
And I'm a firm believer, you use numbers, but you also have a gut hunch. And
fair.
It's pairing all that together
mm-hmm.
that has really allowed me to excel. In that arena.
All right.
And I've always loved shopping, James.
You know? That's awesome.
I'm a professional shopper.
Sure, okay.
And so from being a young little girl, I loved that. And now I joke that I just shop at a much grander scale.
Uh-huh. Shopping for real estate, right?
It's for real estate and the retailers.
All right.
So I bring new retailers into the market as mm-hmm. well.
All right.
To provide new amenities, new offerings.
Mm-hmm.
And to really enrich people's lives.
Yeah.
So my tagline is, it's beyond retail, it's living fully.
Oh, all
right. Right? So I see commercial real estate, especially retail,
mm-hmm.
as bringing beauty to people's lives. Through
that
these stores,
mm-hmm.
through the new offerings, people get to maybe try new menus,
mm-hmm.
meals, drinks, experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's different clothing. Maybe it's different decor for your home.
Right.
Right? Maybe it's a new fitness boutique, right? You like working out.
I do.
I'm a big runner.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's fulfilling those other aspects of people's lives.
Right.
That all falls under this beautiful retail umbrella.
Yeah, it's interesting because it sets the tone for a neighborhood.
Exactly.
When I drive down East Washington.
Right.
Depending upon where you are in East Washington, there's a different vibe.
Exactly.
Good or bad.
Right. It's
or just
different.
Yeah, you just
right.
imagine if I was a visitor to the Madison area.
Right.
What am I thinking?
Right.
When I see three different check cashing places, right?
Right. Well, and you think about it, the East Corridor, that's a perfect example that you brought up.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, it was just kind of desolate.
Mm-hmm.
If you flew in from out of state,
mm-hmm.
you're at the airport, it's natural to come down.
Yeah, you're going to be going down that road. That's the main
right.
the main entrance to downtown.
Exactly.
And this
so,
is what you get to see.
Right. Yeah. And
welcome.
So over the right, over the past, what, 6+ years,
mm-hmm.
You just see what a transformation
yeah.
that has occurred. And
right.
what was neat is I actually lived in that area, so I got to experience it firsthand. And
oh, nice.
It has so many, yeah, it just has so many different venues.
Mm-hmm.
You think of what Otto Gebhardt has done, of course, Kurt Brink,
mm-hmm.
originally in the neighborhood, Stonehouse Development.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really bringing beauty and experience to people's lives, additional safety,
mm-hmm.
because with numbers, people feel more safe.
Right.
It's just a common
mm-hmm.
Concept, if you want to say. And with that, people are thriving in that area.
Yeah.
Where they love, well, minus COVID, they love going to the concerts, right?
right?
You've got
We'd love to.
Yeah,
just,
I know.
We
cross
just
our
can't.
Fingers.
Right.
That day will return.
Right.
And it just does so much. And that's where even the physical properties themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to that artist in me is, it's art on a grand scale.
Totally. Absolutely.
And as different areas are cleaned up, people just feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And additional pedestrians brings greater safety.
Right.
And it just allows people to experience more, have more. And as you have more, I think you naturally give more.
That's fair. That's very fair.
And so I see commercial real estate in a very creative,
mm-hmm.
unique manner.
Mm-hmm.
Probably different than some people, but it's just something I love and I live it. And I live downtown.
Okay.
I've lived downtown for many years.
Yeah.
And that's where I run and I check in on properties.
All right.
I have a lot in the downtown, in the suburbs as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a distance runner.
Sure.
And so I'll run out to Fitchburg. I'll run out to these
different
areas. Yes. As
man, my idea of distance is a few miles. You're going, wow.
Right. Well, you're the weights, right? And so I throw on my Hokas, my tennis shoes that I love.
And, yeah.
And I explore, and I run all year long. So I'm checking in on properties. I know what's happening. I drive to other properties, and it's just very much a part of who I am and a service that I deliver to my clients.
That's fair. You know, that's one thing about this whole COVID thing that I miss.
Oh.
I mean, there's lots of things. I shouldn't say the one thing, right? There's only one. Grilled cheese.
Right. No. We are Wisconsinites.
One of the things that I miss is that you used to drive to meetings.
Right.
And as you would drive to meetings, you would see what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This building's going up. This building's coming down.
Right.
You drive through campus and you think there's a hole in the ground. What was there before?
Right.
You know it wasn't empty. But you just, you would have kind of your ear to the ground, or at least eyes on the ground to know what was going
eyes on.
Yeah. And now I'll go to a meeting once a month.
Oh, right.
Maybe, or you'll be like, hey, I found something on Craigslist for sale. It's on the west end of town. That's fantastic, because I actually get to go somewhere and see somebody.
Right.
You know, driving, you'd be like, when did that thing go up?
Oh.
Like, it had to have taken them months to put that building up.
It does, and that's what's interesting, too, is in the commercial realm, I always say it's kind of like you're living in two worlds.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of confidential information
sure.
and materials, and that's where, too, on certain segments of land or different properties, being in my arena, I know that there's conversations about this or plans demo this and build this, whereas others, you know, it's known and it's in the news and and people are driving by and experiencing. So it's kind of like that little balancing of worlds is what I say. But just because of my industry, that's where I am out driving and also touring different sites with people. And just making sure that I know what's happening with my properties.
Yeah.
And that's where, too, I'll just drop in at different businesses and mask on and just talk to people. And that's where I love the direct feedback.
All right.
And talking with retailers.
Sure.
And I get to understand and look through their eyes.
Okay.
And understand how is COVID affecting them. And, of course, a lot have been hit very hard. And that's where I like to be a resource.
Right.
If you think about it, any challenge in life, personal or professional, if you have a resource, doesn't it just give you that leg up?
Totally.
Right, because you know that there's a lifeline, right,
yes.
per se. And so whether it's connecting someone with another business owner, connecting them with a resource, a lender, a real estate attorney, contractor, you name it. I've always joked if you are dropped off in a city you're not aware of, find a real estate firm.
Oh, they would know.
Because we're always out.
Sure.
And so in that sense, it's just nice to be able to offer that assistance to people, too. And I'm a firm believer in what comes around goes around. And just, you know, being a good person and really putting your clients' interests ahead and knowing the market. And, again, growing up here, I still go through all the different suburbs and I knock on doors, I make phone calls. And one of the things that I found out through COVID is with the mask mandate that people felt a lot more safe. And so there was an uptick as far as people visiting different stores.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Which, of course, they really appreciated.
Right.
And in certain areas, you know, they're breaking even. Some categories, of course, their numbers are out the roof, like the bicycling arena.
Yeah.
Pizza is doing extremely well. Some of these different takeouts are actually making more money than they did last year.
Right.
And of
course, prepared and they didn't even know it, right?
Right. And of course, others, unfortunately, it's a completely different story. But that's where, too, talking with the nationals, a lot of them are looking for drive-thrus, as you can imagine, even if they didn't have that as part of their concept.
Right.
Chipotle, like you hear the new Chipotle Lane.
Oh, I haven't.
So it hasn't come to the Madison area yet.
Okay.
But instead of a drive-through where you drive up to the board, mm-hmm. you audibly place your order.
Yeah.
Chipotle Lane, as they're marketing it, it's all app-driven. So you go onto your little app, you order, you pay for.
Okay.
And then you just go through the drive lane, and you just pick it up and go.
Interesting.
Right. And so that's also where Panera is looking for drive-through locations.
Okay.
A lot of these standardized retailers at the national level mm-hmm. are incorporating that because no one wants to get burned.
Right.
Like they did in 2020, which is completely understandable.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see how it's shaking things up in a word that we always hear of pivoting. And
yeah, it's like new normal, right?
It is.
You're just like, oh.
Exactly.
But in the end.
Pivot and new normal.
But I don't know of any business that hasn't had to pivot for something, mm-hmm. right? Even if it's a minor one.
Right.
I mean, the whole point of being an entrepreneur, I guess, is that you're solving problems and you hope that you can afford to solve it.
Right.
That's what it comes down to, that you're making enough money to solve them.
Well, and it really comes down to prioritizing,
mm-hmm.
right? Of understanding the market, the feedback,
right?
Right. What they're saying through their sales or lack thereof.
Mm-hmm.
I think having a social presence is really huge, and that's where
social online or
online,
okay,
definitely. And that's where, unfortunately, some businesses didn't have websites, which is hard to imagine.
Right, it
but is. That's where it's interesting of working with locals, regionals, nationals.
Mm-hmm.
You have the full gamut.
Sure.
And it's two very different worlds, but that's where the nationals aren't traveling right now.
All right.
Whereas the mom and pops, some are looking to expand.
All right.
So what I'm coming across is people are either looking to expand or two, they're completely opposite of there's no way in God's green earth.
Oh, they're just
right
batting the hatches down. And
right. So as you know, as an entrepreneur, it comes down to the power of choice.
Mm-hmm.
And some people really are challenged in making choices where they spend a lot of time.
Oh, yeah.
On the front and even the back end, and you just don't have that time.
Right, right. I was just talking with my business partner with the window thing today about how people believe that taking the time to make a choice, that time is just free.
No.
But that time is not free.
No. No.
Like the decision not to make a decision is a decision.
Right. Exactly.
It's
right.
The world is changing whether you're pulling
definitely.
The trigger on something or not.
Definitely. And that's where, too, you'll look at a lot of successful business owners. They are very decisive.
Mm-hmm.
They look at the numbers and they go with their gut.
Yeah.
With that. It's not a one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is going to make mistakes.
Totally.
But that's where, as an entrepreneur, you pick yourself back up and mm-hmm. dust it off.
Right.
And you learn of like, note to self, I will not do that again, or I'll do this differently.
Sure.
And so you just really have to be able to shift and contort yourself
mm-hmm.
and heed the market. It's not what you want. It's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And people that listen and really build those relationships and deliver on that
mm-hmm.
that are successful.
Right.
So it's a culmination of a lot of different skill sets. And,
yeah.
And you have to be decisive.
I feel like, yeah, totally. 1,000 times
yeah.
over. Yeah. I have a friend that owns a retail store on State Street.
Okay.
And she's having a rough time.
Mm-hmm.
Not to the point of closing like a lot of stores have.
Yeah.
But it made me think, what if, like, you hear about all the stores closing, you hear about restaurants closing, bars closing. It's just going to change the dynamic of a lot of areas.
It is.
Right? And probably not in a good way.
Well, and that's the challenge. I'm on the bid board. I'm actually on the executive committee.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, funny you bring that up.
Yeah.
But anyways, with State Street, it has been hit hard, and there's been approximately 26 businesses that have permanently closed.
26.
And there's, I want to say, around 14 that are temporarily closed.
Holy cow.
So that's a big number.
40 out of, how many are there?
There's, like, I want to say it was like 152.
So you're already up to a third, or just shy of a third.
So there's a significant portion,
wow.
And that's where they anticipate, you know, next year that there could be 50 in total.
Well, I easily believe, totally believe that.
Right.
Because there's no, from my point of view.
Right.
There's no clear end in sight.
Right.
For a moment, I was, well, I guess we get, you get your PPP loan.
Right.
And it says multiply employees times 2.5 months. And you think, all right, 2.5 months, this will be done.
Right.
Then June or July, whatever it was, came and went. Mm-hmm. Then you're like, okay, after the election, right?
Right.
This will blow over after the election because we'll all be concentrating on election. We'll forget this COVID thing exists.
Right.
Well, that came and went.
Right.
So we're like, New Year's?
Like, no, it's true. And if you think about it, you know, I joke, I always pull fitness into business, which I'm sure you do too.
Totally.
You think about it, people with the fast twitch muscles, right? The sprinters.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got the slow twitch, your long distance.
Mm-hmm.
And COVID is a long distance sport.
Turns out.
Yeah.
I was hoping it was short distance.
I know. It's like, what happened to end of year? And that's where what's interesting is in the office category,
mm-hmm.
you know, at first it was through end of year 2020.
Right.
Then it was end of first quarter. And now that's where it's really shifting into end of second quarter.
Right.
Or returns to offices. So
they've already, you know, end of second quarter.
So that's it keeps.
We're talking July of
2021.
Out.
Right.
Oh.
Right.
Ouch.
So hopefully, you know, Pfizer or someone will come out with that miracle. Vaccine.
Yeah, right.
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 Right. But
I feel like they just need to throw a placebo and a syringe and just be like, this is it.
Right. Wouldn't that be nice? Just snap and you're good to go.
Yeah, right.
Right. Right. It's all a bad dream.
Take the sugar pill.
Right. But yeah, as far as State Street is concerned, it's just going to, it's one of those you have the immediate hit and it's going to ripple through.
And it's going to take years to recover from that.
It is. And it's one of those where we're trying to get it into a stronger space, and it was becoming that.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, we've got a few extra years to add on to that timeline.
Yeah.
But the nice thing is, you know, sometimes when there is a major shakeup, it gives us an opportunity to really recreate it and create something that we had, you know, have that was even better than where we were going. So in that
sense,
you know, I do believe there's hope. And the nice thing is, I plan on being in the downtown for quite a long time. And so
it's not going away.
Continuity. Exactly.
Right.
And I have a lot of business in the downtown. So
mm-hmm.
my personal goal and also business for Abstract is really recreating that and bringing dimensionality to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I fully believe that the local, regional, and national retailers, we need all of them.
Totally. Yeah.
And bringing everyone together in that sense, I think it'll create greater strength and just recreate the street.
Yeah, I had to get this part for my dishwasher, right?
Yes.
And I look online, I can get the part for 20, 30 bucks, something like that.
Right.
I find it locally, it was 40 bucks and change.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no problem going to the retail. Like, I had to drive. Right,
right. Right.
I had to see a person.
Right.
I had a carbon copy receipt.
Right.
That's a whole other realm.
It's the kinesthetics, right?
Yeah, but I'm like, if too many people shop for stuff that is an immediate need
mm-hmm.
Online, places like that are going to go away or be limited. And you're going to change the look of the city. You're going to change the availability of product to keep the city moving.
Right.
Like, it's just going to change the whole dynamic in what I would consider to be not in a good way. Overall, not in a good way.
Right. No, and I agree with what you're saying, but here's where my belief is that retailers that stay in that same old,
mm-hmm.
Queue, per se,
sure.
are not going to fare well. Whereas...
Okay, that's fair.
And you hear about, right, we kept hearing about the experiential retail in 2019-20.
Right.
And... Yeah. And it's really, though, providing an experience. Because
mm-hmm.
if your marketing is based off of volume and numbers, Amazon is going to win every time.
Yes.
But if you truly provide great customer service,
mm-hmm.
answer the questions, maybe provide different options that they wouldn't have thought of,
mm-hmm.
and create the relationships,
mm-hmm.
that you cannot buy on Amazon.
That's fair. Totally
and
fair.
Also... With our tech savvy and apps and people all stuck in their iPhones,
mm-hmm.
sometimes I am too.
Yeah.
It's that.
Listening to sweet podcasts, right?
Amen. But people are craving connection.
Yes.
And Amazon does not provide that.
Very true.
Right? Mm-hmm. So as long as retailers step up to that realm, and they're going to have to recreate it in a different way, and it's going to take work, right? Change is hard. It's Great. Not always fun. But the retailers that do offer that, they will be able to charge a premium price.
Mm.
Because you can't buy that online, and people want attention. Here's a perfect example.
Yeah.
National retailer Lululemon, right?
Okay, yep.
Who hasn't heard of it? In the fitness realm.
Right.
So they have these great high-end athletic clothes.
Mm-hmm.
It pains me, but it's $75 a shirt. I've got a few because I love them.
All right.
Right? And in my mind, I'm like, I'm running all the time.
Right.
When you feel good, you look good. I believe they're combined, right?
Sure.
So it's like you're investing in yourself, but they take it a step further.
Okay.
Is that they have running communities.
Oh.
They have yoga. They have different fitness. So they're not just selling athletic wear.
Oh.
They are truly selling connection.
All right.
You meet other runners. And also when you meet other people, right, that sends your natural endorphins up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, too, people are working out. They're feeling good. They're meeting people.
Right.
It can help them on a personal level,
All
your
right.
career.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps your immune system.
Totally.
Right? So there's so much more than just an athletic experience.
Right. Interesting. Rather than just going
it's on just clothes.
Amazon, picking
right.
out
so
whatever.
Right. So do you see the difference? And
totally.
You can see how you can charge a higher
mm-hmm.
higher price because you got them hooked.
Yes.
And I'm hooked.
Right.
Right? So it just...
It's the whole service quality and price thing, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it just depends on thinking outside of the box and
mm-hmm.
creating more for a person.
Right.
It's going to require a lot more energy. But you're also going to secure that person as a client.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true. I feel like we as a society commoditize a lot of stuff that maybe necessarily shouldn't
so
be.
So much. So much.
But on the flip side, you go past a coffee shop.
Right.
And you can see their drive-thru line is insanely long.
Oh, definitely.
And I'm like, you can make that coffee at home for 10 cents, but you're paying $5 for it there.
Right.
And you're waiting in line for it.
Right. Right?
What are you getting from an experience point of view? There must be something.
Well, if you think about it, it's something out of the old ordinary.
Okay.
So I'll admit, I love getting oat lattes.
Okay.
Got hooked on them.
What are they?
Oat.
Oat.
So it's not almond, not soy.
Oat.
It's oat.
All right.
Yes. And they're so good.
All right.
And of course, that's an upcharge, right?
Okay, all
right. It is.
I'm going to try one.
Well, and if you think about it, when you leave, you're about $6.
Sure, yeah.
You know, for one.
Right.
But at the same time, like in my mind, it's a treat.
All right.
I can make coffee at home.
Right.
But there's something about, and for me, I go in person. I love seeing everyone. They're like, hi, Heather. Your
right.
usual.
Oh.
Right?
Now you belong.
And I'm like, yes.
You got community right there.
Yes.
All right.
Exactly. So it's one of those where they're just so good. And right, it's kind of like an extended family.
Yeah. Can you make an oat latte at home?
I wouldn't sure even know where could, to but No, I'm the same way.
Okay.
To me, it's the coffee and you cycle
yeah, like
through it.
Coffee.
Not that it's not good, right?
Right?
I love my morning coffee, but it just makes something extra special.
Sure.
And that's where, too, because... In commercials, you're always out doing things,
right.
and so I have a few favorites, but it's just nice because you see the familiar faces, especially with COVID,
right.
and that's where some are staying open, even if they're not making money, which my heart goes out to them. I just, you know, I want so badly for them to be rewarded for their work and their
mm-hmm.
time and things of that nature,
mm-hmm.
and at the same time, you know, it's so generous of them because... They're trying to do what they can for their clients and customers in Madison as a whole.
And employees,
to keep
yeah.
them going
mm-hmm.
and employees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, to me, that's just a big public service.
Agreed.
And I think with so many retailers, they have worked and busted their butt,
mm-hmm.
especially in the food arena, 60, 80 hours.
Yeah.
Little Johnny's birthday, unfortunately, you know, that's going to have to happen elsewhere.
Right.
They miss out on so many things, and it's such tight margins until you get 3 units or more
mm-hmm.
of stores and things of that nature. And
right.
I always say, God bless you, because that's, you know, it is just so much time, energy, and effort. And when you look too, the food is perishable.
Yeah.
So you have tight time frames on mm-hmm. so many different things, and yeah. it's just a very selfless area. And a lot of times people have memories of with their grandmother or maybe mm-hmm. a parent or someone. So it's very familial.
Right.
And that's where too, I just love all different people that I work with of how they got started and mm-hmm. you know, when was that point in time that you knew that this was an area you wanted to invest your money, your time, your energy, all of right. these different things into it. So it's very personal, but yet it's great helping them succeed and yeah. hit their numbers so they can provide for themselves, their family, and take vacations and do great things for the community. It's a really neat, just creative, amazing arena that I love. Mm-hmm. And just, again, I feel so fortunate to be in it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So how do you, I guess, let's talk about pricing for real estate, because that's always something that I've been curious sure. about. When I've gotten offices or warehouse space, I think those are the two types that I've had to get in the past.
Right.
With my businesses. Sometimes I would see, depending upon the season.
Right.
I would see tons of available space.
Right.
For a given price.
Right.
And nobody seemed to want to fluctuate on the price.
Mm-hmm.
And other times you see, like this place, I get what I considered right. at the time to be a deal.
Right.
I don't know if it's a deal now. But whatever. I didn't see this one coming.
Right.
So I guess how do people, the landlords or the managing companies mm-hmm. figure out how to price a place and grade it? That's always been a curious thing with the yeah. A, B, and C
yeah.
office space.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of people calling their space A or even B.
Right.
When I'm like...
Or maybe it's a different Yeah,
the volume
category.
Of rats that I see here, I don't know if this would be qualify as A.
Right.
But.
Well, it's one of those, each landlord designates their pricing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't speak for everyone, but I would hope that people are looking at their competition and seeing where they rank.
Okay.
And sometimes people just get anchored on a certain number. Maybe, you know, they ran their numbers and their sweet spot is this range and they just put it in at that range. So
sure.
97% of my business is retail.
Okay.
So I really am highly niched in that arena.
Yeah.
But as far as retail, when I'm working with people, I look to see if the competition, what they offer, mm-hmm. where their base ranges are, their triple nets, lease terms, also the amenities. And a big driver of that, too, is density of vehicles and or pedestrians.
Okay. So right? essentially traffic that's going to
exactly.
see you, that you exist.
Exactly.
So it's almost a marketing portion.
Oh, very much so.
Sure.
And that's where looking at those indicators, what's interesting is going back to State Street,
mm-hmm.
is we actually have pedestrian counters on that street.
Do you really?
We do.
They're bored
and
now.
And so it's... What's nice is you can just go onto the DMI website.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
And you can find the information.
Okay.
And with that, it's broken down by block. It's broken down by day, month, and then you can also get years. So what's interesting is at the top of State Street versus the lower,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's almost like two different demographics.
Oh, easily.
Street,
yeah.
Right? And mm-hmm. so... What would work well in the 5-600 block would not at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where, too, just understanding the street and how it works. But that's where we had over 3.5 million in the 5-600 block the
wow.
other year.
Okay.
Approximately.
Yeah.
And what's interesting, and I used to always tell people, on the north side of the street is the sunny side.
Okay.
People naturally cross the street.
Oh.
And it's funny because I swear people used to just think, nice sales line. But when the pedestrian counts came out, it shows there's about a 500,000 person difference annually.
Wow.
So that's where two numbers are so helpful, you know, whether it's commercial real estate or any other arena, of pointing to the facts of, you know, if you have an extra 500,000.
That's insane.
It is. But it's such a heavily trafficked.
Because if you figure weekends or something in there, that's got to be an extra 5,000 people a Saturday, a Sunday, whatever.
Yeah. So,
wow.
Of course, you know, right now the numbers are are less than half. I mean, we're right. down, you know.
A bit.
Yeah,
quite a bit.
About 30%.
Mm-hmm.
So it really affects that. Mm-hmm. So going back to pricing things, those are different indicators. And also,
right.
who are the co-tenants?
Okay.
Do you have strong anchors? And that's where working with the nationals, some will only go into areas where there's a large grocer,
okay.
like the Hy-Vee or, you know,
so it's almost
Meijer
guaranteed traffic
like that.
Of some kind.
Right.
Okay.
And that's where then when you look nationally, too, you'll see kind of clumpings
mm.
of who anchors with each other.
Gotcha.
Because
okay.
they realize that this is a good fit for us.
Sure.
And that their numbers come through. So it's, I use a lot of that. And then also just working with a lot of retailers,
mm-hmm.
I would say that my information isn't diluted.
Okay.
In the sense of everyone I'm talking to, for the most part, is a retailer. I'm not talking to retail, office, industrial.
Gotcha. Okay.
So everyone I'm talking to
right.
is in this market. And
mm-hmm.
so that's where from, you know, sharing comps and things of that nature and getting a feel for it and knowing what they desire, what they don't desire.
All right.
You know, and just having that experience. It
okay.
really helps in pricing.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
How important... From a retail point of view, do you consider parking to be? Because I know downtown...
Parking is crucial.
Okay.
So this, again, is it all depends on where your listing is at or the development.
Okay.
You have to see through the eyes of a customer.
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
Totally.
So if it's the west side of Madison, you really need to have... plenty of parking right at the door.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have to walk a block, that's going to be a major faux pas.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the downtown, that group of customers and clients, they know they're probably going to walk a block or two.
Yeah.
Especially
a block would be short.
The
they're
State
expecting
Street.
That. Sure.
Right. And
okay.
so it just depends on where the listing is at.
Mm.
And that's where, too, in helping different developers
mm-hmm.
as they're going to construct a new mixed use or something of that nature, we talk about ceiling heights. We talk about parking, your street parking,
all, right.
all those dimensions, the build out, how it's going to be delivered.
Interesting.
When they take possession, if they can build in tandem at the end of the development.
All right.
What amenities? Is there a rooftop terrace? Do they have access to fitness, underground parking?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of different factors. So you look at it all up front and also the flow.
Okay.
And that's where, too, anyone now, I'm pleading with them and have for a while, if you can get a drive-through, get it. If
sure.
you can't, get a lane. If you can't get a lane, have a walk-up window.
All right.
Like, it's becoming a new norm that... is not
there's that phrase again, right?
yes so it,
but
it's
worst
really
case you
important.
Don't need it, best case you
always
it.
Want a plan B,
right?
People got burned really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I liken it to a lot of people is if you have a salaried job and you work for a corporation,
mm-hmm.
what if that went down to 25%, right?
Okay.
That gives you just an inkling of what it's like for a retailer. And actually, that's even generous.
Right.
Because the retailers are trying to push out different deliveries, space that out, especially the food and
mm-hmm.
other things like that, where they don't even make a 25%, right?
Right. It's like they cut the pay and made their job harder.
Exactly.
Because now you got to build up your website to allow for online orders.
Right. And then paying per click and
right.
all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, we were able to get the streetery program in the downtown, which helped. But now we've got winter coming.
Right.
Right. And that's where there's some really great ideas for really embracing winter, since
mm-hmm.
we choose to live in Wisconsin.
Yeah, right. Every year it
yeah,
shows up.
Yeah. It's for family.
Yeah.
And so that's where, you know, it's different. And that's also where I've brought that up to people, too, in the corporate arena of, okay, you have a 401k.
Mm-hmm.
But for a lot of these business owners, their 401k is in real estate.
Right.
And so that also has a different projection.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all very different. And again, you know, we all choose the arenas that we're in, but... when you lose hard. When you win, you can really win.
All
so
right.
it's just a very different risk tolerance.
Sure. Interesting.
Yeah, you pay to play.
All right. How have you seen rents change at all over the past? Well, I guess since you started your own firm.
Right. Well, with COVID, I would definitely say rents are different to some degree. The nice thing is, as far as rent integrity, I'd say Madison is probably stronger than some of the other areas.
Okay, rent integrity. What's that?
And what I mean by that is they are offering, some of the COVID pricing is what I would say. Because they acknowledge and understand that people just are not in the same space as they were in 2019.
Right.
At the same time, everyone understands that this isn't going to be forever.
Okay.
Right? Won't accept that as a new norm.
Right. No.
No. And so with that, they are working together, and that's something I'm really proud about. Mm-hmm. I think it's an old paradigm of where there was the animosity between tenant and owner. I think it's much more collaborative, and I think that's just an old method of thinking.
Okay.
And I think too, you have to set the stage of educating both so that they can see through each other's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And really the goal is for a win on both sides, right? Because if it's a hard-sided one-side deal, that's just not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really finding something where both sides are going to feel good about it, have a good working relationship, and things happen, right? Mm-hmm. And so having that good communication and just really collaborating together, I think, is important. And so with that, I anticipate a couple years things are going to be different.
Okay.
That's where in a lot of leases, too, you'll see attorneys are writing in different COVID verbiage and things of that nature.
Really?
As well.
In the lease?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Right. So
that if a worldwide pandemic shows up, then
right.
I'm just like, okay.
So both sides are adjusting and collaborating for the most part. There's always a few that don't, but I think people are really going to remember who worked with them
mm-hmm.
and who didn't, and that is going to have a long-term effect also.
Right.
So, Madison has always fared very well in general, I think due to the university,
mm-hmm.
Being the state capital, things of that nature, versus some of the other cities throughout Wisconsin. And that's what I meant by rent integrity.
Gotcha. Okay.
We will return to the strong numbers. We adapt. You look at things for where they are, and then you also plan for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where State Street, too, of like you have long-term ownership.
Yeah.
If you want a really high return, you want to buy in on something else. But typically, if you want stability, State Street has been stable for years and years and years, even though there's fluctuations.
I don't see it going away.
No.
But if you look at, I guess, the history of State Street, there's seasonality, right?
But you look, the ownership has held the properties for a long time.
Yeah.
And I see that continuing. And with everything happening in the market right now, again, people are either leasing or they're not,
mm-hmm.
but what's really hot are the sales.
Okay.
And that's where the
sales of property.
Commercial investment sales.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. There's been a little bit on State Street, but mostly it's in in the other sections of Madison.
Okay.
Yep.
Like the malls, right?
Well, they're declaring bankruptcy.
Gotcha. Yep. Okay. Yep. Bad day.
Exactly. Okay. And again, that's where you'll see in the larger markets of they're restructuring and they're breaking it down instead of big boxes. They're breaking it down into smaller footprints.
Interesting.
And adding more variety, more service. And then also trying to get some of the local mom and pops and fostering them through where they do grow and extend.
Okay.
So I think disruption in any arena will always bring that initial scare in of hit the fan.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But then it also opens the door to creativity and opportunities for creating something that might be even more beneficial for where we're at in the world.
That's fair.
Right.
That's fair.
Right.
I guess in the case of the malls, I feel like that was becoming, I don't know if this is the right term, but outdated.
A dinosaur.
Yeah.
Right. And that's where you look even Hilldale Mall,
mm-hmm.
WS Development. They saw the writing on the wall years ago, and they took it to an open-air shopping center.
Yeah.
So it's breathing new life into it.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, the three phases, they'd went through phases one and two. Phase three is on hold. But just even think of that and
mm-hmm.
how it's more dynamic, actually great for COVID.
Right.
Right? You're out in the open air, things mm-hmm. of that nature. And it's been a great amenity. A lot of new operators to the area.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's one of those, everyone has a spot within retail.
Right.
And it's just a matter of getting your bearings, working out the kinks, and as you get larger, you move into more high-end properties, maybe with a larger rent, where you're also working with more of the nationals, and so people shopping at these areas are then going to come to your store,
too.
Oh,
so you get more traffic.
You just keep upgrading.
Sure.
Depending on what your goals are.
All right.
Right?
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's such a weird... I don't know. It's an interesting market, and interesting. Mm-hmm. The whole commercial real estate thing is fascinating to me.
It is. I love it. It's such a part of my life. Anywhere I go, I'm always thinking about retail and talking to people and owners, or how do you connect with them, and getting different ideas, even from a design perspective, what looks good.
Right.
How do we incorporate that into some of the Madison retailers? And just breathing more life, because as we bring in more people, sure, the competition increases.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we all want to play full out.
Yes.
You know, like yourself.
Well, I'd like to think so.
Right. Hopefully.
Yeah.
And that's where, too, you want to push yourself to become better and share more and perfect your craft.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love meeting new people and understanding, you know, how they crafted their deal, how they brought this retailer in, what amenities this retailer can bring to this area, how you might enjoy your life more by trying this, or maybe it's some type of massage, or maybe it's, you know, some different element. Maybe it's some great chiropractic, you know, that helps someone's back and they have renewed life and energy.
Right.
Right? So
whatever
it comes in so many different shapes and forms. And then I think, too, it just... it breathes new life into old spaces and also people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a thing of beauty.
That's
all
cool.
around.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
How do people find you? Because I imagine there's always
Definitely.
People looking for commercial real estate.
Exactly.
Or maybe, well, I take that back. When you presented at the WIBIC class that I taught, back when you could do in-person teaching, right?
Right.
And there were people that didn't know how to rent a space. Like they're going to start their coffee shop or their restaurant or their workout place or whatever.
Right.
And they're like, okay, I'm ready to rent.
Right.
What do I do?
Right. No, and it's one of those, you don't run into commercial real estate brokers nearly as much in markets. There, you know, there's fewer of us, especially when you compare it to the residential arena. But a lot of it is word of mouth.
Okay.
Where I've helped people, and that's where I really enjoy, again, working with the locals, regionals, and nationals, because it's a completely different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
The basis of what you need to know is typically the same, but with the person maybe that's just starting, kind of like you said with WIBIC, it's really nice to understand what their goal is. They need to be clear with it, and then that's where, too, finding the right site that's within a budget.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people want to start out with this big, great, you know, huge space, and the overhead's going to kill them.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I think it's having those direct and honest communications, and also make sure that they know their numbers. You have to go to your lender, your business plan, which you always help them out with. Those are all crucial factors. So that is one subset. When you go to the next, the regionals, typically they've got a few locations, a few stores, if they're coming from Milwaukee, let's say, regionally to the Madison area. So they're usually pretty savvy on the different leases, and that's where it's really helping them find the right location.
Okay.
They know Madison, but they don't know it like I do.
Right. Regional would be like a pick and save? Or like
regional could be, like, for example, Collectivo.
Oh.
Right? Out of Milwaukee.
I didn't know that.
Madison.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. See, look at me out of touch.
or that's where, you know, a lot of the different groups, just working with them here, the Nomad, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I worked with them on the ownership side. But it's helping them to find locations that will work for them, understanding the market, the demographics, and they're already savvy. Sure. So you don't have to talk about the business plans, all those. They're clear on what they want. They all just really need the local expertise.
Okay.
And then it's working through brokerage. And then as you work with the nationals, that's where they've done it 100 times. They already have all their floor plans of what they need. They're very clear on their square footage and really their deal requirements.
All right.
And so then it's kind of massaging that into whichever property is going to work so that everything aligns with that.
Sure.
And that's where, you know, typically I'm on the owner side of something like that. So it's just merging the gaps and really looking at what's the total deal that we can give.
Okay.
And that's also where different deal terms come into play. It's based on who the tenant is, how successful they are, their lease term, and some of these other things.
Okay.
So it's a different scenario in each of them.
Yeah.
But it's fun because you're tapping in at different areas with each.
Okay.
So it's fun.
Interesting.
It is.
I want to ask you, because you're in the commercial real estate realm, especially with retail, when I see, let's say Kmart, right?
Okay.
Kmart was kicking butt for a while in the 80s, and then they closed up shop. And now you still go through some small towns that still have that empty Kmart. It's just that box.
Right.
And I think the one in Eau Claire, where I grew up, I think the roof even caved in.
Oh, no.
And it, like from snow or something like that. And it just hung out. Like, no. So who typically owns those, and how do leases work with a lot of that big box stuff? Because I get the impression it's not the Kmarts of the world that own the property.
Well, you know, with the larger ones, I don't have as much experience with some of those big boxes per se. But sometimes that's where when they shutter the store, the money actually goes out to the taxpayers, where they end up paying some type of relief.
Okay.
So that, of course, is a factor that a lot of people don't like. Also, they'll sit on it for a while. And until they sell it off, it's just desolate. And that's where, too, it's an eyesore. But from a dollar's perspective, you know, they've already redistributed their resources.
All right.
And it's on to another spot. So it's more of an eyesore in that sense.
Right.
And it's, and a lot of times, these places will sit until a negotiation is reached.
All right.
Or they don't want to tear it apart because they might backfill it in with another store.
All right.
So that's where, too, even on State Street, you'll see some of these vacancies are just vacant for a while because the owners have had the property for a long time and they don't have to lease it.
Oh.
And that's a common misconception. People frequently think if a place is vacant, well, they would love to have me in it.
Right.
And that's not necessarily how it always is, because people can be a liability.
Totally.
Not if you have a solid tenant.
Right.
But sometimes if it's a newer person and maybe they're not really sure what they're doing, then you have to, you know, there's the possibility that they're not paying and you have to evict them and all this back and forth.
There's a headache.
Right.
Or pain
and
in the butt factor. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it's easier to just leave it vacant. Or sometimes, too, they want a certain type of retailer.
Okay.
Maybe they want a certain food.
Okay.
And they're able to be choosy.
Yeah,
because
the owner,
they don't need the rent.
Sure.
And so until they find something like that, they can wait.
Interesting.
So it's just a different world than what a lot of people would assume.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Right. And that's where, too, deals times, they can be a few months or they can be years.
All right.
So it just really depends on what it is. And, too, if you're going through different, you know, city approvals, whether it's a story height that's going to take longer, different licenses, you know, liquor and different things, it really just depends on the deal itself.
Sure.
So.
Interesting.
Isn't it?
Is it? You bring up an interesting point talking about the city. Has it been challenging working with the city with some? Or have you seen challenges with different cities or jurisdictions, with retailers trying to get whatever it is, you know, adding a drive-through or a patio?
Right. You know, the drive-through, that's been challenging for a lot of owners to get approvals on drive-throughs.
Okay.
The challenge is from a leasing standpoint, it could be leased out very quickly.
Mm.
But, you know, depending on space, depending on the roads and different things of that nature, there's a lot of factors involved.
Okay.
So I don't profess to know that. I just know it's a lot easier to lease.
All right.
especially story heights. That's where Ascendant Holdings was working with a boutique hotel for the top of State Street.
Yeah.
And it took about 2.5 years
Wow.
to get the additional story height. And then at that point, they didn't have the funding.
Oh.
So it was a lot of work.
Like the funding went away?
Right.
Or just got spent elsewhere?
It was spent elsewhere.
Okay.
So unfortunately, the 100 block of State has remained as they are.
Interesting.
Right.
A decision not to make a decision, right?
Right. And so that's where, too, you know, we have a saying in the arena that time kills deals.
Oh.
And it does. And that's where you can have deal fatigue.
All right.
Where people get tired of going back and forth.
Right.
And after a while, it's like this party doesn't care, or maybe this party. Or maybe this party doesn't feel they're being respected and this party's tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe something happened in someone's family and now they're moving.
Oh, sure.
Or they just aren't going to start this concept. Or, mm-hmm. you know, there's a multitude of different things. Or maybe someone's having health problems.
Right.
That ends that.
Sure.
Right? Or maybe there's some new property that's coming out now, because this deal was taking so long.
I'm just going to move on that
now one. The National's going over here instead, because this has greater opportunity and we didn't have to move right away.
Right.
So there's a lot of factors that can come into play. And that's where, if you think about it, in commercial brokerage, unless you're charging consult fees and other things of that nature,
mm-hmm.
you don't get paid until the lease is executed or mm-hmm. the sale closes.
Mm-hmm.
So everything else is like you're a public servant.
Yeah, we're going to free, sure.
Right, until that point. And that's where, too, sometimes people are just like, you know, they feel that, well, why don't you just work for free? And it's one of those, everyone wants to get paid for what they do.
Work for free just entirely?
No, at times.
Oh, gotcha. Right? Okay.
And so it's always kind of humorous. You know, it hasn't happened in a long time, but it was interesting in the early days of like, well, can't you just do the deal? It's like, no, just like you want to be paid, I'll be paid as well.
Yeah, right.
So just funny. Something different.
That's such a weird question.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, would you ask your doctor for a free surgery?
No.
Right.
I don't know that I want one.
Right, right.
The joke on my end is that nobody uses a discount for LASIK.
Right.
Because
who would, right?
Yeah.
And you would have to question their
right.
their thought process.
Like, what did you cut to give me this discount?
Yes.
Or what did you not cut to give this discount?
Exactly. So it's an interesting world, and that's why I say, too, of who needs to go to Vegas when you're in commercial real estate? There's so much right. variety, and it's, you know, it's forever changing and mm-hmm. flowing, and it's very time sensitive, where,
yeah.
especially with different products, the nice thing is, as you know, in arena, that's where you can add more value, because there's properties that come up that aren't mm-hmm. listed yet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's keeping in your mind, and also, you know, in your CRM system, which I hope people have,
yeah.
is to be able to reach out and add value,
mm-hmm.
right? Because at the end of the day, it's about providing value, providing a service,
mm-hmm.
and also helping people know that they have all the tools that they need to make the choice right for them.
Right.
And it's their choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes people get that in reverse, where they're trying to push upon them what they want, and it's really their choice.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's where, in any arena, some people can get focused too much on, I think, the commission and want to push a deal through
right.
for their own personal interests.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at the end of the day, you can put your head on your pillow and feel good about what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
Looking out for your client, and to me, that's also what fosters the long-term win.
Right.
That you're servicing people, you're good, and I always say, I'm going to have to put my trust and faith in people in different arenas.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to come across the person that's going to help me like I help people.
Right.
And navigate that and do what's right for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really simple at the end of the day. Be a good person. Know your arena, do a great job, and have fun at the same time.
That's the name of the game right
exactly.
there, right? If you're not enjoying it, you're doing
exactly.
something wrong.
Exactly. I agree completely.
Wrong business. So, Heather, thank you so much for being on the show.
Definitely, James. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is awesome. How can people find you?
Great question. They can reach me on my website at abstractcommercialrealestate.com.
All right. Awesome.
Or they can also reach me at 608- 239-4781.
Nice. Tell me Definitely. Really quick.
Yeah.
How did you come up with the name?
Abstract. So, I have always had that creative, artistic spirit.
Yeah.
And so I've actually been oil painting for many years.
Have you really?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
And many years ago, I had started a small art business.
Really?
And so it's commissioned oil paintings.
We've been talking for over an hour and this just came up.
Yes. I joke that it was during my midlife crisis in my 30s.
All right.
Because prior to that, I had worked in the operations arena for 11 years and... You know, like I was saying, with the capacity planning and overseas negotiations, toolings, all of that, forecasting. Yeah. And gathered a lot of great knowledge. And then I was just like, you know, it's not fulfilling me, though. Right?
All right.
The money was nice, but I wasn't really that passionate about it.
Okay.
So I went through and took years of where I tried different things. And looking back, I would have done it differently. But I started an art business. Later, it was fitness. I got, you know, was a personal trainer and coaching.
Were you really?
All of these different things. Yes. So.
How long ago are we talking?
Gosh, that was late 2000s.
All right.
And then I got into real estate in 2010.
Okay.
And so it's,
Man, you just picked the years to get into real estate.
Oh, I know. Isn't that the truth? So anyways, from that, you know, fast forwarding to the commercial sector, I was just like, this is perfect.
All right.
Because I get to use that base from operations, the time where I tried a lot of different things.
Yeah.
So I knew what worked and what didn't.
All right.
Right? What traits, what skill sets.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the commercial retail sector of, it's just so fun. And it bridged all of that together.
All right.
So tying in with the name of Abstract is I get to use that creative spirit in with all these different deals, and also the retailers that I work with are very creative. It may not be an oil painting, right? Your paintbrush on a big canvas.
Right.
But I see each of those retailers as a canvas.
Fair.
And
all
so
right.
I paint with them their needs, their goals, their desires, and I get them the lease deal that they need to be able to do all of that.
Nice.
Or maybe I sell the property that allows them to do that.
All right.
So they're fulfilled, I'm fulfilled, and again, it's bringing beauty to lives,
right,
the landscape, and also the big developments that I work on.
Right.
They are beautiful, and I love seeing the floor plans, the site plan, building the layers.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when they start building it, I'm out taking pictures of it. And just sharing that, and it's a huge painting. It's art on a grand scale.
Nice. All right.
So I take the abstract,
right,
and then I bring it into, if you want to say, into life in that sense.
Sure.
Obviously, the developers are doing so much, and the owners and construction and the retailers, but I get to be a part of that process,
right,
and I love that.
You help orchestrate it. That's
right.
Cool. That's super
right.
cool. I like it. That's clever.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, Heather, thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure, James.
This
Thanks
has been
for
cool.
having me. I
What's
know. We'll have to have a check-in.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, do we check in a year? When will this blow over?
Right. Well, and that's why, too, with it being COVID, I was like, this is the perfect time to get going.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I thought of it is, at this time, the playing field is leveled.
Yes.
Right? So the firms that have been around for a while, they're slower right now, too.
Right.
And so I used it really as a time to reach out to different retailers to be a resource, especially in the early days. If I could connect them with lenders for PPP or just different resources or maybe other businesses, things of that nature. And as time has shifted, people are looking to buy or at least, you know, at some degree. And that's where, too, I figured get my systems in place, all the creative stuff, the social media, the website, processes. And then that way, when the doors do fully open,
just hit the roll.
I'll be right there.
All right.
Yeah. And so, cool. believe it or not, I have been busier now than ever.
That's awesome.
I have about 20 listings.
Wow.
I have great properties. I work with great owners, the developers, also the tenants that I work with.
Yeah.
You know, offers in for sales. it's been super busy in a great way, but I've also done a lot of door knocking and prospecting, and I work a lot of hours, yourself.
Yeah, you got to earn it.
So, exactly. Yeah. It doesn't just happen, but like anything, as you get that forward momentum, mm-hmm. it gains speed, and it's just great to be able to do something that I love to help people.
That's cool. The 20-year overnight success, right?
Right.
Awesome. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. If you are listening to this on the web, please do me a huge favor. Like, subscribe, comment, share, right? Do all that social stuff that that the world needs to see. My name is James Kateman, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering services for small service businesses across the country on the web at callsoncall.com, as well as Draw In Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs looking for growth on the web at drawincustomers.com, as well as The Bold Business Book, available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold. The ones with the purchasing experience.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Heather Ewing, owner of Abstract Commercial Real Estate. Heather, thank you so much for being on the
show.
James,
thank you for having me. It was a true joy.
This is cool. We're going to do this again.
We will, most definitely.
In a post-COVID world, right?
Right.
Find us airing locally on 103.5 Wednesdays at 1 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as at sunprairiemediacenter.com. Past episodes, of course, and this one, can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link, found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.
Bye.
That should be done.